Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Hey, it's Carrie Oberbrunner, and I have Myron Youngman.
Right.
Myron, I just met Myron a few minutes ago. He's a young man. But, you know, there's somebody who said, you got to talk to this guy. And whenever someone says that, it was Jeff Bestie, right?
Jeff Bestie, right.
So Jeff said, you got to talk to this guy. He's doing cool things. He's in an organization internationally. We might talk a little bit about that. But he's an alumnus of the year from Cedarville. And I thought, let's just talk and chat, because I'll tell you what, Myron, my firm belief is that everyone should think like an entrepreneur, not just the little 4% of the people who are wired, but I think that everyone will benefit if they think like an entrepreneur. So let's learn a little bit about your journey. You went here in the 80s.
Well, I graduated from Cedarville in 76.
I was born in 76.
Well, yeah. Thank you for reminding me how old I am.
That's all right.
And then I worked here for 8 years.
You worked here?
Yeah.
Okay. Where did you, what position?
It was actually director of campus activities.
Nice.
It was actually my first year here at Cedarville. I worked under Dick Walker.
Okay.
Part-time. And then my second year here, the university actually asked me to start a new department here, which included artist series, lecture series, intramurals, conferences.
All the fun stuff.
All of that stuff that was outside of academics and intercollegiate athletics was in my office.
Okay.
Now I think that's in several different departments.
Yeah. So if you had a guess, how big do you think the
university
student body was? Yeah.
Oh.
Back then, what do you think? Less than 1,000 or more than 1,000?
No, it was more than 1,000.
Okay.
I forget, actually.
But more than 1,000. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's really grown. Yeah. And so you're back here in the States. And how long have you been back?
About 4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. How often do you come back?
Generally, I spend about 9 months out of the year in Asia and 3 months out of the year here in the States.
Wow.
Back and forth.
Okay. And give us the, as much as you want to share, no pressure, but you said you took a leave of absence and then it became forever leave of absence.
Yeah.
What's that whole story?
Well, I had done three short-term things with the university, but with teams from the university in 81, 82, and 83 to China.
Okay.
And that's when I kind of got the China bug. And so
the good China bug,
right.
Yeah,
not the
virus. Yeah, I get you.
And so, but then decided to go teach, and I was there for a year, or had asked for a year's leave of absence.
Okay.
And then I just stayed for another year and another year and another year, and now it's getting close to 40 years.
Wow.
And then we also, right now, we work in India, Nepal, Myanmar, and Thailand as well.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, so what's going on in the world? You know, I mean, I was in France last summer, but that's quite different than some of the places you're at. So
yeah.
what do you see going on globally right now?
Well, I mean, you look at China, 40 years ago when I went, China was very much like North Korea is today.
Wow.
My salary was $50 a month and I could live on it.
Oh my gosh.
It was, yeah, so...
A month,
yes.
Wow.
And
now you can get a meal.
That's
for
about
50
that's
bucks.
That's lunch for two at this
point in
Beijing. But wow. Anyway. But yeah, you know, and globalization has very much changed missions for a lot of reasons.
Okay.
Internal migration into the cities has affected things like what we call unreached people groups.
Yeah.
Just, you know, a whole host of things have changed a lot over the last 40 years.
Wow. Okay. So my whole passion obviously is entrepreneurship, but it's really bringing the kingdom, God's ethics and heart for people to the marketplace. So I guess my question would be, how have you had to think like an entrepreneur? And I would, you know, in my new book, I talk about 10 traits, but, you know, some of those traits are risk, resourcefulness,
yeah.
Teachability, learning the language beyond the language, you know, like the culture. So how have you had to think like an entrepreneur in your job?
Well, I
Every
mean,
day?
you know, when particularly, you know, with China, different places like that, the context is very different, you know, and kind of our typical models for how we might approach missions or sharing Christ or being a witness in different areas, there are different. You have to adapt to the context.
Yes.
You know, and I always say, I think it's, you know, relationship first and then context and then content, I think is
Ooh,
kind
that's
of
good. Ooh,
and,
that's good. Can we break that down?
okay.
That was like the
Well,
mic drop.
and it's,
Relationship first.
yeah, relationships are key.
Then you
Having
said
relationships with people and then
context.
understand the context, you know, what's the environment that you're
Yeah.
working in,
And then
and
content.
then the content. And it's not that the content is, that's not a priority order.
That's good.
It's not like content is less important than
Right.
relationship.
But if you
But if
lead
you
with
don't, but if you
content.
don't, but yeah, if
Yeah.
you don't start with relationship and then understand the context,
Ooh,
your
that's good.
content's not going to be heard.
That's good.
And
Wow.
so, yeah.
That's
So
huge.
with China, you've had to number one, have the relationships first that you're trusted. Then you understand the context that you're working in. And then how do you establish the method or the way that you want to deliver your content? And so, and that
It's
impacts
awesome.
Nepal right now. There's anti-conversion laws. So, okay, that's the context. Rather than throwing our arms up in the air and saying, oh, wow, or just trying to butt our heads against what's happening, how can you address the issues in a different kind of way and accomplish our
Wow.
purpose, our Great Commission purpose?
That's awesome. So as much as you're allowed to share, because we don't want you to share anything you're not supposed to, but are you like into leadership development? Are you into curriculum?
The two kind of tracks that we're focused on are primary in education and
Okay.
then also in leadership training within the
Yeah.
church. And I think within education, particularly in Buddhist cultures, there's an opportunity and understanding context, there's kind of four pillars of society in Buddhist cultures, particularly like Myanmar, Nepal, where Buddhist scriptures, Buddhist monks, parents, and teachers are the four pillars of society.
Brilliant.
So Christian schools, Christian teachers in those environments are some of the most effective methods or most effective mouthpieces for the gospel in those contexts.
That's cool.
And so, you know, that's we were working in a variety of Christian schools across Myanmar and Nepal, about 12 right now.
Okay.
And then in leadership training, I think, you know, China is one of those places where 40 years ago when I went was considered an unreached people group. Now you have a church that's sending out its own missionaries. So in my ministry's lifetime, I've seen the whole, not my lifetime, but my ministry lifetime, I've
Wow.
seen the whole spectrum of where we should be
Okay.
going in ministry.
Okay.
And I've seen mistakes as well as the wins.
Yeah.
And one of the things, there's a number of missional church plants that end up dying after one or two generations.
Why is that?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons for that, and it's complex. But give you one example, like in India, and a lot of resources are focused just on pastoral training.
Okay.
And I think there's a need to focus on both lay leader training as well as pastoral training. And so we've started something we call sustainable church leadership development,
Okay.
which has to do with finances. And, you know, for instance, in Myanmar, the economy of Myanmar does not support the traditional. Economically does not support the traditional church like we would have here in the United
Okay.
States. And so you need a little different model. In India, you have a context where one pastor is maybe overlooking 5, 10, 15 different congregations.
Gee.
And then the lay leaders are doing the teaching when the pastor's not there.
Okay.
And the lay leaders are not trained theologically. And so they say, yeah, we need to obey God, but there's Hindu God over here and we need to obey him and da 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 da. And then things get all messed up.
And then that's called syncretism.
Yeah. And so we have, you know, there's a need to not just, there's so many resources put towards pastoral training,
Okay.
leadership training, but we don't think about leaders in terms of down through the lay leaders of the church as well.
Yeah.
So we're working at trying to help make mission organizations, missions, as well as national churches kind of understand that issue.
Are we able to say the name of your organization or no?
Sure, the Kaifa Group.
The Kaifa Group, what does that stand for?
Kaifa is a Chinese word which means growth and development through the exchange of ideas.
Oh, I like that.
We're not incorporated as a mission organization. We're incorporated as a community development organization.
I like that. How do you spell Kaifa?
K-A-I-F-A.
And is it? And what's your website?
Thekaifagroup.com.
Thekaifagroup.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you basically are under the banner of community development.
Mm-hmm.
I love ideas, by the way.
Yeah.
You mentioned ideas, right?
Yeah, growth and development through the exchange of ideas.
I mean, ideas are, that's my whole thing, is our mission is setting free world-changing ideas. Mm. So I'm glad Jeff connected us. But what do you see, like, why are you back at Cedarville? Why do you go to Taylor? What, are you able to share that?
Yeah, sure. We just, we're all about partnership in the work that we do in Asia now. Obviously, ministry has changed, and there's definitely a place for pioneer missionaries and that sort of thing today.
Yeah.
I don't want to be dismissive of that in any way,
mm-hmm.
but there's also God's doing a lot of things throughout the world.
Mm.
And sometimes we as Americans need to learn how to become number two
mm.
and get behind nationals that have their own vision. We have the resources.
Yeah. So we're not the hired guns that come in.
Right. Not the old white guy telling them what to do sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so, we find nationals who have their own kind of Great Commission vision.
Okay.
And then come alongside them to help source the resources they need to accomplish their vision. It might be financial, it might be expertise, it might be training, it might be a whole variety of things. So that's why I come back to the States.
What makes, like, if you were to pick a American missionary leader to come over, what traits of an entrepreneur minded person would you look for?
Somebody who's teachable.
Yeah.
Somebody who's flexible.
You just hit two of the traits, man, of the e-mind, like flexibility and teachability. Wow.
Yeah. Well, in China, we used to, there's a saying, the only thing that's certain is uncertainty.
Okay.
And yeah. So you have to be flexible in that kind of a context.
Wow. Wow. So those, yeah. Those two things. What about a bias toward action? And some of those things. Or are you like, no, actually, we want people to sit back and be more reflective?
What do you mean? Oh, yeah. You know, excuse me. Yeah. A bias towards action. You want people who are willing to take action.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there needs to be a high learning curve.
Yeah.
I think one of the most dangerous type of people that might come over in any kind of context, it's like, okay, I've been here for 2 weeks, you know, I've got it figured out now.
Okay. Yeah.
Or I have this business card. I'm really, really, I'm ready to go. It's a whole lot more complex than that.
You need to be a massive student.
Constant
humility.
Constant student.
Yeah.
I'm still learning.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
That's good. That's good.
So teachable is a key thing.
How long have you been back at Cedarville on campus? A few days?
This time?
Yeah.
I've been, Cedarville's still home base when I come back to the States.
Mm.
So I've been back in the States about 4 weeks.
Since you've been around the world of Cedarville for decades now, I've only been around for a few months. But what changes have you seen that have been good? And what changes have you seen that we have, or I would say, how have we stayed the same? And that's a good thing. And how have we changed? And that's a good thing. What do you think?
That's hard for me to assess. While I'm around, I'm not engaged that much.
Okay.
One of the things I can say about what I got from Cedarville, I think one of the things that how Cedarville impacted me the most was mm-hmm. just that whole idea of integration of scripture into absolutely everything.
Yeah.
You know, I came from a rather legalistic background. And then I came here, and in my, for people that have been around Cedarville a while, Dr. Monroe's Foundations of Social Science class, I remember one of his first lectures, him leading with 2 + 2 = 4 is as much God's truth as John 3:16. And that just kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Wow.
And that whole idea about that there's not a sacred secular dichotomy and all that sort of thing.
So that kind of blew your mind.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I've taken with me through the years. And then another thing is a professor who just really impacted me in the whole area of ethics. Dr. Greer, when he was here. And that has affected my approach to China and to different parts of the world. I don't take a covert approach. Okay. And I'm not saying that people who do that are doing something wrong, but for me, you know, I've never been duplicitous about what my identity and purpose in any of these countries are. Mm. I'll always introduce myself as a Christian, wanting to do what I'm doing because I'm a Christian.
Wow.
But wanting to work within the system too at the same time.
That's cool.
Context.
That's cool. Well, I know we're almost out of time for chapel. But what would be some parting words that you would say to anyone who's watching this saying, maybe I should go international. Maybe I should take my value creation commitment, whether it's business or whatever discipline, and go into the quote international marketplace. What would you tell that type of person? Any thoughts?
Well, working international is just, it's an amazing life. It's an amazing experience. Mm. I feel so blessed to be able to be able to engage in the world in that kind of way. The other thing is don't be afraid to take one of the things in terms of how I pray is I always pray that I'm never afraid to follow the Lord in faith, you know, not seeing the entire plan ahead of me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, never running ahead of the Spirit's leading at the same time.
Wow.
And keeping that balance between the two.
That's a good balance.
We're reticent to move ahead many times unless we know how it's all going to play out, the whole plan.
Truth, yeah.
You know? And I think we need to make plans.
Yeah.
But the only thing that's certain is uncertainty.
Yeah. It's like the verse.
So flexibility.
You know, we plan our steps, but the Lord directs our path.
Right.
You need both.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, like me, it was supposed to be a 1-year teaching gig.
I love it. Well, Myron, give us the website one more time. This was really helpful.
www.thekaifagroup.com. Kaifa, K-A-I-F-A, group.
Thekaifagroup.com. Love it. Folks, I love this today. Myron did, how to think like an entrepreneur in the international space, whether you are a missionary or creating value just through business as well. So thanks for coming today.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the eMind podcast with Dr. Kerry Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/emind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.